Good morning, councilors, and welcome to the 20 May County Manager presentation. As has been traditional, every year the Development Engineering Advisory Board makes a presentation to the board talking about activities of the previous year and the plan going forward. So with that, I'll turn the microphone over to Greg Schaefer, our Development Engineering Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Manager, and we thank you, councilors, for your time this morning. I will be very, very brief, but I appreciate Mark providing me a few moments here, and really my emphasis is to offer sincere gratitude for the nine professionals who are serving you on the DEEB. I want to assure you that each and every one is a very resourceful and dedicated professional, and they really provide a great service to the county. I know I can speak for Oliver Orjeko and also for Marty Snell and Heath Henderson, Public Works side, that DEEB really provides each of our departments a great collaboration, great insights, and I think that we have a very, very good working relationship together. I thought we might begin with a brief introductions, allowing each of the nine members to introduce themselves, and then, as Mark appropriately indicated, the emphasis of the meeting today is to turn the time over to our 2014 president, Mr. Mike Odrin, who will lead the discussion on reporting for the work of DEEB in 2014. You can see our intent was to keep the document brief, but nonetheless it's pushing about four pages, and really that's just to fairly I think indicate the great work and the abundance of work that DEEB has done over the last year. And then I think in combination with our 2015 president Andrew Gunther, we're going to outlay our initiatives for the coming years of 2015 and 2016. So with that, perhaps we can just circulate the table, introduce the members, and then we'll turn it over to Mike.
Sure. Terry Wallen with REMAX. Have a development, new construction focus background. Been involved also government affairs with the realtors. So thank you.
Jeff Riston, Kingston Homes and Moss Riston, and home builder and contractor background.
Eric Galimo with SGA Engineering. We do consulting engineer primarily for private development.
Jamie Housley with Jordan Ramis. I'm a land use attorney with them, but I also am the government affairs director for the Realtors and the Building Industry Association of Clark County.
I'm Andrew Gunther with PLS Engineering. We're another land use and plan civil engineering consulting firm.
Mike Odrin with Holson Engineering. I'm a landscape architect and land use planner, and we also do development for the private industry. Again, I'd like to echo Greg's thanks for having us here today, councilors and Mr. Manager. We've already gone through introductions. I'd like to reiterate Greg's thanks, and on behalf of DEEB, for providing us with their time and resources. A few more thanks go out to community development, long-range planning, public works, environmental services, the Board of County Councilors and the county manager, as well as staff liaison Greg Schaefer. And that goes for staff across the board who have participated in presentations at DEEB, as well as providing us technical information on those items that we've reviewed. DEEB continues to provide valuable insight and input into and review of code revisions, development-related matters, process improvements, and technical advances. Additionally, individual members continue to provide participation on technical advisory committees and special work groups. 2014 provided DEEB the opportunity to address issues, changes, revisions, and updates in all of these areas. DEEB has also compiled a substantial list of other work plan items for the 2015 and 2016 biennium, and we continue to seek the county manager's and board's direction, guidance, and support. Provided to you today is a comprehensive report outlining those issues, items, and improvements that DEEB reviewed over the past year, as well as a work plan for the next year or so. If you turn to the report, you'll notice down on the bottom of page one our accomplishments for this last year. And I'll briefly review some of these items. I won't read it verbatim, or we'll be here for much longer than we have. We have supported the revisions to the concurrency code and the related changes to the CFP. We have been provided regular updates on the comprehensive plan. We've been provided regular updates and commented on and participated in the stormwater ordinance updates. We've supported changes to details regarding single-family residential driveway approaches. We've provided suggestions on policy and code changes and improvements. With regards to development-related issues, it's quite a long list. We've expressed continued concern over development review staff's ability to continue to meet the timelines and have sufficient staff and resources with the increase in development activity over the last couple of years. We've reviewed proposed delays in the payment of residential impact fees. We've provided input into and facilitated changes to the stormwater inspection fee procedures and amounts. We've provided comments and data for substantiation to Clark County long-range planning that the current infrastructure percentage deduction for residential development in the comprehensive plan doesn't actually reflect reality and the amount set aside for infrastructure based on our development experience. We've provided updates on the wetland and habitat code changes. We've looked into changes to the shoreline exemptions so that we might have not a one-size-fits-all standard for low-impact construction, such as utility repairs. We've provided information on the transportation impact fee program update. We've received updates on the population growth and buildable land supply. We were provided an update on Clark Regional Wastewater District's capital facilities plan. And we were provided a demonstration on how the county models its vacant buildable lands model. As far as process improvements are concerned, we supported the lien process for expediting single-family residential permits. We've reviewed and provided input into updates on the final plat process, similarly into the final site plan process. We've requested that community development update the 60-day Type 2 site plan review process to make it a permanent procedure. We've provided input into changes to the plat alteration process, moving away from a one-size-fits-all approach. We've supported all electronic final engineering review processes, and we've received updates on how staff was addressing permit center wait times, with staff recommending that we set up appointments as one of those elements that's come out of our comments. With regards to technology, we've supported updating technology to increase the efficiency of development engineering. We've received updates and provided input into the Tidemark permitting software system. And we continue to generally discuss the technology trends in development and building construction industries. One of those items that came out of that is the, I think it's called SureLook, and also doing inspections with regards to on-site Skyping or pictures or things of that nature so that we don't have to have an inspector actually go out onto the site. Some of the participation that we've had on special work programs include the stormwater code rewrite, the final plat process, which is just winding up, transportation impact fee, and the lien process for site plan review. With regards to economic development, DEEB continues to be an active supporter for economic development in Clark County. As part of this, we look at economic development that DEEB should continue to assist with the board's and the county manager's commitment to economic growth, that we look at fee reforms, which include the fee holiday programs, impact fees, concurrency, and development and building permit fees, and looking at how those fee reforms and current practices are successful in creating job growth. With regards to process improvements, we continue to provide guidance in the following areas: staffing levels and resource strategies for development activity increases, customer service enhancement, continued lean efficiency implementation for other development review processes, early review of proposed policy and code changes, and then the Tidemark software replacement. That pretty much rounds out what we did in 2014. Moving on to 2015 and 2016, we'll continue to work and wrap up the final plat process and improvements. We'll continue on the final site plan process improvements. We'll be providing input, continued input, into revisions to the concurrency ordinance in effect on the capital facilities program and the transportation improvement program. We're going to be continuing to get updates on the comprehensive plan, stormwater ordinance updates, the fee holiday program, vacant billable lands models, permit center wait times, Tidemark replacement. We continue and encourage the 60-day review process, continued updates on the single-family residential lien process, continuing reviews of the staffing levels, encouraging new technology, streamlining reviews, reviewing the need for road modifications that are almost, if not always, approved, as well as what should be coming up here shortly is the archaeological review process. DEEB has identified, you know, while development-related issues, code revisions, new code development, and process improvements are important in their own right, the following items are a few items that DEEB feels may be more important and priority based on the increase of development activity over the last couple of years. This will be a reiteration of somewhat of a reiteration to what I just mentioned to you, but I just want to highlight these areas and go into a little more detail. We want to ensure that staffing levels for all departments are commensurate with the amount of development activity in order to meet timelines, continue to provide a high level of service for all customers, reduce permit center wait times, and to continue to have staff's approach to customer service as collaborative, cooperative, and proactive, rather than separate, uncooperative, and reactive, to act as an advocate for customers rather than an opponent to customers. Second item would be to bring proposed code revisions, new code proposals, or policy changes early to DEEB in somewhat of a work session format to provide an open dialogue for early vetting and comment by DEEB. And number three, we encourage staff to continue to look for efficiencies in processes and procedures to reduce or eliminate non-value-added work, such as codifying the 60-day Type 2 site plan review process, allowing concurrent final civil engineering reviews with other processes, such as post-decision reviews, providing quick emails for non-fully complete items, rather than taking the time to write a long formal letter, possibly revising the final site plan process so that the project planner, who was originally part of the process, reviews the final site plan rather than one individual staff member that may not know anything about the process or the project. The project planner has the most familiarity with the project, and this is how the City of Vancouver does it. And I say that, and I bring up the City of Vancouver, because I believe that staff should review the policies and procedures from other jurisdictions to steal shamelessly the best ideas, policies, and procedures. This concludes the basic part of DEEB's annual report to the County Manager and the Board of County Councilors. On behalf of DEEB, I'd like to thank you for your time this morning and open up the table for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Well, I have a million questions, but I'm going to be more systematic, and I've made some notes as we've gone along, and I'm interested in every single line, every single process that you've looked at, your recommendations. The wonderful thing about the building industry is you figure it out, you get the plan, you build it, you get it done. And that's just a beautiful thing in life. So I'll have questions. Some of them will be for staff, and eventually some of them may be for individual DEEB board members who maybe have higher experience or whatever with a specific topic. So thank you for an excellent report, and the work that you've done for all of 2014.
Add to that is that how grateful we are for all of your help and staff. Between staff and the D board, I think that we've really pulled some real miracles out of this, and good relationships. And I'm always impressed about how thorough you are on some of the things that were of concerns to us that we haven't been able to get to. You've covered so much of it, and I really appreciate that.
I expect you've put many, many hours into chewing on problems, brainstorming, and coming up with better processes, ideas, way to solve those problems. And I, as I understand it, there's really two fruits of that. One is, well, those changes that actually turned into actions that improved the way that staff adopted those changes. And the other is those that require policy changes on our part. And I'm, in particular, I've divided your paper into two parts. The first part is the past, and the second part is the future. And in those things that are past, I want to know if there must be some items that we have not fully adopted, that somehow you chewed on it, you proposed a improvement, and it didn't happen. And I'm curious, because we're not aware of all of those, and I'd like to know, what have we not adopted? What improvements have you come to in agreement that this is a better way to go, and we haven't done it?
I would probably say that while it is not codified, they certainly use it in practice. It is something that needs to be approved prior to entering into, and that's the 60-day Type 2 site plan review process. For those of you who may or may not know what that is, the standard process is a pre-application conference, a submittal of a Type 2 site plan review, and then a final engineering review. With the consolidated review, all three of those items are combined into one process. There's a project introduction meeting where we sit down with staff informally, and they provide us their comments with regards to the proposal, which we've provided them in advance. Very similar to a pre-application conference, except that we don't necessarily get a report with it, but we feel that there's much more value to the project introduction meeting, as we're able to go through and only identify those items specific to the project rather than regurgitating code. We all know the code. We can all read the code. Secondly, with that, is that we know that what we're proposing, we're not going to have to change based on staff's review. Again, we know the code. We know that a site plan lays out a certain way. We know how deep the stalls are supposed to be. We know the building goes here. We know the sidewalk widths. Why not allow us to engineer that, submit it into the county, and get it all approved all at once? That saves time as well as money, as it's been found that while fees are certainly a consideration, the amount of time it takes to take an idea for development and take it through the process, engineer it, take it through the process and start building is much more important, because that all plays into financing and when you can start making your money back. So that's one example of that.
What you just walked through there were significant improvements that that you'd like to be able to have done, but we haven't done it yet.
It's been done, and it is something that staff allows to be done. It's simply not codified.
Oh, okay. So we need
all the other processes have been codified. They say that this is allowed by code. You can do this. Now, it might mean that there are certain conditions to be able to do it that way. One of those items is front-loading the process, meaning taking care of all the issues at once so that once it's submitted, it runs through the process smoothly and there aren't any hiccups along the way that prevent the process from stopping. Now, that's not always going to be the case. There are always reasons why a project will stop during review. Some of those are related to unanticipated issues that arise, off-site mitigation that needs to be included with that was not anticipated. You know, to be completely honest with you, clients that don't pay, So there are going to be those things that keep you from proceeding as efficiently as possible. Yet if the county allows that, at least we have the option to do it.
Something that would be that I would find helpful in your report, you itemize a lot of different things, really good things. Some of them are provided feedback, paid attention to, or that kind of thing. The thing that I would find helpful would be the follow-through on that. Provided feedback. Feedback was adopted fully, partially, was not adopted. To be able to see what is the status of that work, if there is anything that still could be somehow finished up, anything that is at where we can go grab those nuggets and salvage it and implement it if possible.
In those circumstances, we get input. We have presentations given to us by staff members, whether it be from Public Works or whether it be from Long Range or whether it be from Environmental. What we do is we provide our feedback at that moment in time. We provide suggestions to staff that allow them in their course of action in providing documents or the updates, for instance, to the capital facilities plan or to the transportation impact fee revisions that allow them to say, hey, okay, this is staff. We're on this level here. How is it from your guys' side, meaning the private side? How does this work in practice? They don't go out. They don't do applications. They don't talk with clients who say, we have to let them know that, hey, your transportation impact fee is going to be this. You are along a TIF creditable roadway, and what does that mean to you? So we're able to provide them real life experiences to allow them to revise, rewrite in some circumstances what they're doing on behalf of the board, the manager, and upper level staff. So it's really not a matter of tangibly saying our comment or our suggestion on this was this. We often don't know that. What we will find out is through subsequent discussions with staff, they'll be able to come back and say, hey, we took Deeb's comments and suggestions and incorporated certain elements of that into what we're doing.
I'm going to see if this summary is accurate. All of the collaborative work between Deeb and staff has been fully satisfactory to staff and to Deeb, and there's really nothing that needs to go back and be able to make some improvement in there.
Our collaboration with staff is wonderful. What you see in here and what you'll see in here are continued updates, ongoing, continuing. That's part of what you're referring to right there, is that they will do something. They'll come in, present, we'll give feedback, then they'll come back after they've revised 2 or 3 months later and give another presentation, say, hey, this is how we changed it, tweaked it, whatever it might be, in order to make it better. Or, hey, we took your comments into consideration, but it won't work as a result of A, B, or C.
Don't mind. I have one comment on that. We've had several items over the years where we've respectfully disagreed with staff on certain items. And I say respectfully because that's how the process has been. It's been very collaborative. And it's always nice to kind of walk in someone else's shoes. And some of the items that come up, we have the opportunity to know why staff is doing it the way they're doing it and why the development community wants to do it the way they want to do it. And a lot of times we kind of go through that and we learn things that we wouldn't have learned otherwise. And you make a suggestion without hearing that other side, and you just don't get that kind of feedback. So we've had several items that even after that, we respectfully disagree, and we've published papers and we've made recommendations based on that. And sometimes the commissioner or counselors, I'm sorry, have acted, and sometimes they haven't, and they've cited different ways. But we have respectfully disagreed on several items.
Our goal certainly is to do what we can to facilitate and create a platform where projects can get through the process and to do it affordably. In the emphasis moving forward, there was some emphasis on maintaining adequate staff levels so that doesn't slow the process down. And that's probably that's probably only half that equation. The other half of the equation is to actually follow the suggestion, go to each of the jurisdictions, and I say City of Vancouver because I was there as their process was developed, and it's highly effective. It's not perfect, but it's very effective. And developers have come to me and said, I'm not complaining about the county, but I can take a project to the city and get it through the process much faster and easier than I can many times. The suggestion that we learn from those that are successful and have a speedier process that still has adequate review, that's a wonderful idea. We do not need to reinvent the wheel. And staff is eager to do that. So using the successes of other jurisdictions to find out how they have developed processes that can move it along, that's a great idea. And then if we speed up the process, it's not necessarily having to add a lot of staff. So if we can develop the process and procedures, it's not so top-heavy in personnel because multiple approvals can be done in sequence. So we will work to find that balance between streamlining process and having adequate personnel to get these things through the process in an adequate time. And we do understand that a lot of building is seasonal. You get as much done as you can and certain kinds of work done based on the calendar. So I think we understand that. Code revisions, getting... I think what you're suggesting there is if the county is going to be recommending code revisions, get them to you in the early process, in the early development phase, so you can comment on them. So by the time we're ready to act, we will know what your input is. And you always tell us why. And to me, that's really important. It's not just, we'd like to see this revision with this wording. It's the D board explains to us why you think that's prudent for everybody. So I also appreciate that.
Councilmember Stewart, just one thing I would like to go back to on learning from other jurisdictions. I think that that's a thing and a concept that we use quite often in our approach, and it's not just within our own county, but statewide as well. I think that the challenge that Clark County has more specifically, though, versus our local cities, is that the cities are effectively our urban areas. They're not having to deal with the complex rural issues that Clark County is also obligated to deal with from an application standpoint. And on top of that, now we have stormwater regulations that the county has to comply with, and the cities are coming at a later date. So just to give a little bit of broader context to that, it's I think we're understanding that we have a much larger range of issues that we're trying to address and to find ways to get that. And sometimes from that perspective, Even if we improve the processes the best we can by borrowing from other jurisdictions, there really does become a choke point with the staffing levels. Where unfortunately, I think we're sort of hitting that right now, where we really just do need more staff to process the amount of activity coming through. And it's again not just on the urban side, but as well the rural applications that are coming in.
I was. This is just 1 year of things that you've done, and you've done so much. And my fear is that we may be fixing it, but not documenting the fix. And what I mean by that is between the state and the county codes, is so many times we found the interpretation or the definition of that. And I don't see or I don't recall where we've gone back and made it very specific in our ordinance so we're not so flip-floppy around and that we have that narrow path to go down that you've already ventured and you've beat out and you've got to work in a certain way. I don't see that, and so when I would like to see that on a more regular basis, when we go back and address those things, that we go back and we change that ordinance or that wording in that ordinance so we can't come back and have a new employee or later on down the road a different board here and we all go back and revert back to where we were because we've come such a long ways. And another thing that we try to do here, unless there's a reason that really acceptable, the intent of this board is not to supersede state regulations. And in the past, we have, and we keep finding those, whether it's through interpretation or just adding on to state regulations. I'd like to understand those more and get them out in front of us so we understand if we do, why have we done that, and if we don't have a good reason, we need to go back and stick to the mandated portions of things we do. We have so many things that we're mandated to do. And that one of the things, since I've been here, we now have, for the first time, the mandates of regulations and policy set down by the state for the fire marshal. And we never had that before. The regulations that we had for the fire marshal was adopted by this board. So I get real skeptical when, I'm knowledgeable of the things coming down from the legislature, and that's bad enough. So I'm really skeptical as to how we interpret that when we get here.
I don't see, we're aware of the basic state laws regulating development, state planning laws and things of that nature. We certainly don't want to do anything more or provide more regulation than what is provided by the state or what we have in code right now. One thing I might say is that there's a fine balance and a fine line between providing surety and providing the ability to have some wiggle room. And that's one thing that I think we've all looked at is we want to, if somebody comes here and says, I want to build here, can I build here? It's either yes or no. On the flip side, sometimes it's, can I build here? Well, maybe. Well, I need some assurance whether I can or I can't. Oftentimes that's where those codes come into play. Say, okay, well, we need some assurance because if somebody's going to be relocating from Portland, they're looking at buying a 15-acre piece to build a new warehouse. Is there use allowed? The code states yes or no. Some of the more form-based codes, it's a little more flexible. I think both are beneficial in their own right. Opening it up to interpretation, too much interpretation, I think, allows too much of the potential of us versus them. Well, I interpret it this way, and I'd say we can do it. Staff says, well, I interpret it this way, and no, you can't. So there's always that fine line there, and I think that kind of relates to state laws and then how we act on those and might expand on those or try to just meet the minimum.
Actually, put that detail there saying, yes, you could do anything here, but you'd have to do this, you'd have to do that.
Right.
Something
yes.
specific.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm always afraid not to be flexible, too. So.
Right. And that's why I say it's a very fine line.
We do as a group, you know, we've got kind of varied talents, I guess, and skills and knowledge. But we do certainly try to keep in tune with those state regulations. Particularly right now, we've got a couple members here that are on the Stormwater Technical Advisory Committee working with the county on their new manual and ordinances. And we spend a fair amount of time kind of tangling with, you know, what language we can adopt that doesn't cross the state's lines that have been drawn. So it is certainly something that we do keep in mind as we talk about our recommendations to staff and everything else that we're involved with.
I would say that in addition to this very detailed list that you have here, very well done, good projects. You also read something that was so well expressed that added more eloquence to this, and I thought that was very useful. Is that something you could share with us that we could also post with this?
Well, it's more of an expansion on what is actually in the work plan right now. And it's more of an exclamation point, if you will. I could certainly provide that additional information, say via an addendum to this report, to indicate that while all of these, and what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to have this come out and say, we've done all these things and we look forward to working with all these things, but really we're mostly concerned about these three items. That's not the case, you know, because they're all important in their own right. So what I don't want to do is I don't want to downplay anything else that's in here by highlighting anything else. But what I did want to make known are the three highlighted items, ones that we feel might carry a bit more weight going forward, longer range, not project or code specific, but it's more encompassing, more of a 10,000-foot view.
In particular, there's one area where you ended up describing in a good way a culture, and you contrasted that culture with good and bad. One, collaborative, helpful, supportive, versus the opposite of that. That was really well expressed, and I wish I could have taken notes more thoroughly on that. That culture goes such a long way, because the processes and the practices and the procedures and policies, all of those things are one thing, but the culture can either make that successful, make it painful, or make it just a great experience. So that culture, to me, I'm thinking is, I want to maximize it. I want to make sure that our staff has everything they need in order to be successful along those lines. That when it comes to wait times, the adequate staff to be able to walk those things through, our recent budget update, we approved three new positions there so that we can add some extra bandwidth there. Is that sufficient?
We don't know. We'll have to see it in practice. If we could say we're not behind these doors, we don't see how things take place here. We know how they take place in our own firms, but we don't know how they take place here. So if we see, let me give you an example. The city has not been able to do that with regards to community development to increase their staffing levels. And consequently, the wait times have extended past what is codified or what they've indicated in code or in their policies. We don't want the same to happen here. And we've been indicating to staff, even starting 2 years ago, hey, things are happening. Things are taking off. It's not a fluke. Be ready for it. Whether or not it's going to be enough, I guess we'll wait and see. Is hiring one new employee going to take care of your backlog? You won't know until you hire them on and get them trained and get them rolling. There's always a learning curve. We understand that. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see. I would rely on the managers in the departments to know what staffing levels they need to provide and in what areas they need to provide them. We're concerned about the end result. So best I can say is I guess we'll just see.
But it is important to be able to identify what's not working. So certain aspects of what the city is doing may work well, but in development review or community services, they changed the name of the department.
Development economic, something like that.
It's crucial for big projects not to have them lingering, because the predictability is key, and that's predictability of process, of financing, of all that, and those have to all come together in order to know if a project is viable. And if you get a hang up on any one of those, you've reduced the predictability and it jeopardizes the project. So if to me, one of the true benefits of the deed board is you can help us help the community by giving us the information and feedback about where we can improve and what's needed currently and as you see in the process as we go forward. Thank you for that.
I've got a few underlines here. Meet timelines, sufficient staff, express continued concern for proposed delays in payment, actual amount of land set aside for infrastructure, I just want to let you know that I'm interested. If there be anything that somehow you feel like, oh, there is, we wanted to do this and we had a lot of collaborative interaction back and forth, but somehow we didn't end up with what you would consider to be success. And so I welcome that. I look at this and I think, I don't want to have any opportunities left uncashed in on. So when it comes to, for instance, the actual amount of land set aside for infrastructure, is that right, the way it is? And that I would assume that's us. That's policy.
So I think here's where Eric and I especially most passionately feel about this particular topic. We have a belief that the percentage that has been set aside for the infrastructure came back into the late 1990s and early 2000s. But since that point in history, we've had new regulations either placed on us by the state through stormwater requirements or additional critical area ordinance requirements that have necessitated that we use more of our buildable land to accommodate things such as larger stormwater facilities, as well as additional roadways and those types of infrastructure. Because a lot of those are just coming online, we don't have a tremendous amount of experience with what those percentages would be, but we did pull together some of the engineering community that have done projects under the new ordinances, and what we've demonstrated empirically is that we feel that percentage should be closer to 33-35% based on real-world experience out there in the county. And it varies depending on where you are within the county. If you're in the city of Vancouver, for instance, where a lot of the early studies that derive this 28% number, you're okay because you're on gravelly soils and it infiltrates. But when you move beyond that area out into unincorporated urban Clark County, as well as some of our cities in Ridgefield, Battleground, the real-world experience that we're seeing is that's a much higher percentage. Deeb had prepared a pretty technical letter that I believe we submitted to the board in the summer of last year that indicated the data. Planning staff as well as engineering staff and I think from folks from the environmental department said, well, you guys are being a little bit too speculative, and we think that it's firmer to stay on this 28% for now, and if we experience what you guys are suggesting will happen over the next period of years, then we'll go revisit that the next time the comp plan is coming up. But for us, that's too late. You're losing 8 years of potential land that should be set aside for population and jobs rather than being set aside for infrastructure.
Last year?
Yeah, I think we can. Here's a copy. Eric's got one.
You know a lot about the comprehensive plan update process. In your view, do we still have the opportunity to update this number the way you prefer?
That's a tricky question, because I think the best time to do it would have been about a year ago when we originally submitted it. A lot of work is based on those factors, and you know, it's been our opinion the whole time. This isn't new news. We've testified several times that we should have adopted two things. One, a more accurate infrastructure percentage, and the second one is a more realistic growth rate. And those things really should have been picked towards the beginning of this process so we could adequately plan. So much information has been based on that now. Not that it can't be changed, but it's a tremendous amount of work. It's a tough question. I think staff would say we're too far. Our position has been, well, we really should have addressed that early on in the process. And I think we should start looking at it now. If it is too late now, I think we should start looking at it for the next update in 2008. So as a compromise, you know, maybe it is too late at this point, but that doesn't mean we should lose it. I think we should start looking at it now for the next update so we don't miss that opportunity.
Yeah, I would agree with Eric. I think that we're pretty far down on the process now, and I'm going to defer to your guys' attorneys as to whether or not that could be changed at this point in time. But from a going forward basis, I think it would be very critical for the county as well as the private sector to start documenting this stuff more accurately, so when we do go update the next plan, we can say, okay, this was a number that worked for early 2000s, but this is what we're actually seeing happen on the ground from an infrastructure standpoint. I think the population issue, unfortunately, because the county has handed that from OFM, it's a little bit more complicated on challenging that. I think that there's some good reasons for that percentage to go up, but again, I don't know whether we're too late or not.
Back at that, with the information that we have provided at the time, I believe we made the best decision for a forward look. It's a guess for anybody, even OFM, as to what's going to happen. We think with some of the policies and practices that we put forth that we could encourage probably more commercial, more job creation and things of that nature. And I think we took that top end for that reason.
No, I just want to say again how much I appreciate the work that you do for that cooperative effort. That's so important. And that we can work together, and we can iron out things that need to be done. And on our side, we can do it with the public interest in mind as well. You can tell us what your best recommendations are. And I would urge Deep Board to, if you land on some recommendations or suggestions, getting them to us. As long as you have general agreement from the group, getting those to us so that we can keep them in mind as we move forward. And I want to refresh my memory. I'll do this outside of this group now. On the comp plan, and amendments can be done to a comp plan on a more frequent basis than a general comp plan update. And so I'd like to understand better how that can be done to see if recommendations you do could more go into an annual update. So I don't know exactly what the law is about that, but that might be pushing the envelope a little bit. But it can't hurt to push the envelope a little bit. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll talk on the inside about if that can be done, because if you can come up with good suggestions, sitting on them for a year or two is not the best outcome. Better than nothing, but not the best outcome. We'll work for the optimum on this.
I would say also that we want to make sure that if you have something that you believe in, that you've worked in, we've collaborated with staff, and somehow it you need our help to be able to get it done, make sure that not only do you provide it to us, but you meet with us. You really help us to understand that we won't miss it, because we have so many different areas that we deal with that we want to make sure that if there's something important, that you bring it to our attention and don't give up if you don't if somehow we don't respond to it because we're distracted with many of the, we have dozens and dozens of action items and projects we're working on at any time. We want to make sure that you get our attention, contact us, meet with us, and help us to shepherd it through with you.
Are you done?
Okay. Well, I want to say thank you very, very much that you're all serving as volunteers. You're experts in your fields, and you're collaborating to make us our whole community more successful along with our staff. Thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it. You've made our county and our processes smarter in the process. Really very thankful. And Mark McCauley,
Thank you, counselors, for your interest in the subject matter, and I'd like to make a commitment that I'm going to get much more involved in this process personally. I've heard some things today that require some attention, and they will get that attention. So, thank you.
On behalf of Deeb, thank you all.